So if you open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 20, you'll see we're going to go to Ephesians 6, and then Deuteronomy 6 as well later, and we'll actually go in that order. Well, we're continuing our series, In His Image. I hope you've enjoyed that as we walk through the set of laws that we've used to pound each other for so long to see really it's a beautiful thing that God has introduced Himself by showing His character. And we've looked at the first four commandments that relate to our relationship with Him. The first commandment was no other gods, because He's our Creator. We're to carry His image, His character. Second commandment is no graven image. We're not to lower God to a status of a created being. Third commandment is to honor His name. And we know God. We know what we think of God by how we use and carry His name. And so we honor Him with how we carry it. And last week we looked at the fourth commandment, the keeping of the Sabbath, the day of rest. And we honor God by taking rest in the work of Jesus Christ. So today, after God has shown us how to love Him and honor Him, how to reflect Him, He gives us six laws showing us how to love others the way He loves, how to carry His image. And so the fifth commandment that we see makes every parent say, amen. And only one parent was excited about that. He knew the fifth commandment. And it's the law that every parent has quoted or reminded their kids of. It's the main law that we want our kids to learn and obey. And so in Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us first. We thank You again for allowing us to approach You because of Your Son Jesus. Allows us to come to Your throne and call You Abba. And Lord, today as we open up Your word, we ask that Your Spirit work in our lives and in our hearts, that each one of us would be willing to be transformed and conformed to Your word, that we'd remember the examples we set for our kids, the lessons we teach to our kids. And Lord, I ask that You give me the words to convey Your truth and how to apply it to our lives. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, as it's a very important law that's been given. And as you know, I could spend many weeks talking about this one law. I love speaking about families and kids and marriage. And this is a law. And it's the only one of the Ten Commandments that carries a promise with it. And it's a law that we've got to get right. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, a text I've preached over and over and over a lot, and I will more. Ephesians 6. Basically, it's a repeat of what we just read in Exodus. As Paul delivers to the church this same command. In Ephesians 6, look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I preached on this a few times. It's such an important passage for our purpose as parents. And the first thing I see here is the burden. Not necessarily a good thing. Often we place the burden on our children with this law. We put a heaviness upon them. And maybe you've caught yourself saying this. God told you to obey and honor me. Yeah? How about this? This does not honor your parents. God does not bless this attitude. And maybe we've said this, and all those statements can be true. But there's two problems. First problem is we present them as a burden. We present this law as a burden instead of a help to our kid. We put a heaviness upon them, something that holds them back and restrains them instead of something that encourages and motivates them. Last week we saw that the law of God is good. It is pure. It's a help for us. It helps us know the character of God. It helps us to know how to honor God. And it lets us teach our kids how this law guides and helps us. And that's what we're supposed to do. Not creating a burden, but using it to help teach. But the second problem is, and kids, teens, that's most all of us, kids of somebody, we placed a burden on the wrong person. The pressure of this law is not on your child. Catch this again. The pressure of this law is not on your child. The pressure of this law is on the parents. Think about it a little bit. When you're a leader of your home, who is responsible for the direction of that home? Who is responsible for guiding that child to where he should go? Who is responsible for molding and teaching that child his character? Parent, we are. The burden isn't on our children. The responsibility is on us. That when they honor us, what are they truly honoring? Parents, when a child looks at you and your marriage, what do they see? Flip up to Ephesians chapter 5, just one chapter away. I know it's redundant because I use this passage a lot, but it's because it's so important for us to remember. Parents, who are you representing to your child? In Ephesians 5, look at verse 23. For the husbands, daddies, hubbies, that's you. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Go down to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Honor your father and thy mother. Who are they honoring? Are they honoring the representation of Jesus Christ here when they honor daddy? Because dad, your children should learn about Christ by the way you treat your wife. I should even get an amen or an ouch, right? That's one of those moments right there. My son should learn something about Christ by the way I love this woman. The way I speak of this woman. The way I provide for this woman. Because what I represent to him is Christ. Foolishness for me in my mouth to tell him about Christ and treat her with hatred. Because I am a representative of Christ in my household. Dads, the burden's on us. And I use the word burden, and I should use the responsibility is on us that they can learn about Christ from us. They should see you protect as Christ protects. Ephesians literally tells us, men, to lay our life down if needed, as Christ did for the church. Our kids should learn about the love of Christ by the way we love our wives. They should learn and see integrity that represents the one that is called truth. Amen. Again, who's the responsibility for honor thy father and mother? It's us parents. Oh, moms, you ain't getting away with it. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit. Oh, that's a nasty word. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Moms, your children are called to honor you, should learn how to submit to God by the way you submit to God. How you submit to your husband. The way she respects me and follows me teaches my kids how to respect and honor and follow God Himself. Woo! Y'all thought this sermon was going to be fun at first, didn't you? Yeah, tell my kid to obey me. Bring him up from junior to... No, put him back down there. Yeah? Responsibility's on us. What are you representing to your child? Mom, they're going to learn to submit to the Lord from you. Dad, they're going to learn how to love from you. They're going to learn, Mom, how to place themselves under the authority of God from you. How to walk by faith from you. They're going to learn how to appreciate the love and provision from God. From how you appreciate the love and provision from your husband. Do your kids ever hear you bragging on your husband? Building him up? The word praise comes to mind, which means to make a loud noise about. The kids are going to learn from you how to praise God. They're going to see you encourage the work of God by the way you encourage your husband. They're going to learn how to allow God to lead them by the way you let your husband lead you. They're going to learn how to speak about God by how you speak about their daddy, whether he's present or not. Don't know amens or ouches, so everything must be good. I hope we see here the responsibility that we have as parents goes beyond the spanking. It goes beyond my mouth telling them what to do, but of setting an example. And quite honestly, sometimes that really stinks. But they're learning. They're watching. God made you His images in your home so that your child can grow up and learn from you how to love Him. Now, as a leader of your home, the leader of your child, imagine that you tell your kid that he's to honor you and obey you, and he looks at you and he asks, "You mean the way you honor Dad?" Would that be a good statement or a bad statement? When you tell your child, "Don't you talk to me that way?" You mean don't talk to you the way you talk to Mom? God doesn't like it when we talk that way. Why do you say that to Daddy? Why do you talk to your girlfriends about Daddy when he's not around? Dad, why do you make those comments about Mom in the garage when she's not around? He's learning how to treat God from you. Mom, you want me to be honest? Like when you're telling stories about your past? Dad, you want me to be honest in everything, kind of like during tax season? We're in that season right now, aren't we? We send papers tomorrow. Mom and Dad, you tell me to be faithful like you are to God's Word and God's church? Mom and Dad, you want me to be faithful like you are on your cell phone? I'm only saying this to try to make this relate to our lives. The responsibility of having kids is so great and so awesome. You see who the burden truly is on if we want to place a burden? Your child honoring you places a burden upon the parent because you're the one raising them. And one day you're going to say, I didn't teach them that, but you did. Maybe you didn't, verbally say it, but they watched it. They saw you accept it. Maybe they saw that in some issue of integrity in your life. Maybe they saw your character when you didn't think anyone was looking. It's our responsibility. And parenting is a huge responsibility. And the first step of being an example is teaching. So the second point here is teaching. We've often spoken of this when it comes to our kids, that we should never simply have rules. Don't just make a list of rules for your kids. Because what we start to teach them is legalism. Just do it because I said so. Kids will learn that, but that's not all we want to teach them. That's why churches for so many years got caught up in the do this, do this, do this, and you're not godly if you don't, and I joke about suit and ties. Because growing up for me, suit and ties, women had to have high heels and stockings. It made me mad. Those things are great things. But as I grow, is there a reason for them? Yeah, that's what Pastor said. Don't have rules for that. You know what you should teach them? Is what the rules are for. Why is there a purpose? Talked about it a little bit last week, but why is killing wrong? Because the Bible says no. So, no, that's legalism. Killing is not wrong because the Bible says so. The Bible says so because killing is wrong. You see the opposite there? The Bible says so because killing does not reflect the character of God. God is life. He's the giver of life. So he says, thou shalt not murder. And so therefore, Scripture tells us, thou shalt not murder. And me not murdering isn't because the Bible says so, but because what the Bible says is a reflection of life himself. Is this making sense? And so when you start having a rule at home for a kid, explain why so they can learn the why. Explain why do we need to go to church? Why do we read the Bible? Why not steal just a little bit? Why don't we cheat a little bit? Why can't we use those words? Because how many of y'all were raised? You sort of use certain words. And the back of the hand becomes very familiar. But you were never told why those words weren't accepted. I remember as kind of a preteen in the back seat of the car, I used the big one, B-U-T with an extra T. Wham! Man, my dad had a backhand. Never knew why. Everybody else was using the word. Just knew. It cost you a few teeth. Why not teach me, hey, I don't believe that honors God. That's not graceful speaking. Right? We need to teach the wise. It's very important. You're not to lie, not because the Bible says thou shalt not bear false witness, but because Jesus is truth. That's why the Bible says thou shalt not bear false witness. It's the character of God to be truthful. We don't cuss because the Bible says not to use foul language or profane speech. It's because Jesus, again, is truth, and his character is grace and love. We're not to mouth our parents, not because we're supposed to honor them, but we honor them because they represent Christ and the church. They're the authority in the home that when I learn to honor them, I learn to honor the Father. And don't think you're going to teach them to honor the Father without honoring Daddy and Mama. Anybody out there? Okay, nobody's mad yet, right? Okay, making sure because I'm still working on that. No, I'm The purpose of all rules are to guide our children to Jesus. Evaluate your rules at home. Sometimes we got rules that we don't even know why we got a rule. Evaluate it. Is it worth it? Does it take away, when you have too many rules, does it take away the value of the rules that matter? Evaluate them. And sometimes we got to admit, that's a dumb one. I'm just doing it because Mama always did it. And your mama may have had a great reason for it, and you don't. But our desire for the rules is to cause him to honor God, to carry his image, to serve him. Throughout Scripture, God has told us what to teach. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, very front of the Bible, as God starts to deal with the Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This little passage is multiple times in Scripture. We'll go to the first time, and he said it just like this. Deuteronomy 6, go down to verse 4, and that's where we're going to start. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Well, doesn't that sound like the first few commandments? And he goes on, verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Because of that, verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto" who? "Teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of these things when they sitteth in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and when thou walkest by the way," and when, I'm sorry, verse 8, "and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Whew. Was he serious about teaching his words to your kids? Did he beat around a bush? Do we have to dig real deep to see what does he really mean here? He said, number one in verse 5 is to love the Lord thy God with all. What I want above everything, instead of just following a bunch of rules, here's the purpose. Love the Lord thy God with all. That's the main purpose. If you fail that part, the rest of it don't matter. Amen? If you don't love God, following a bunch of rules does not matter. I'm going to say that again. If you just want to check off a bunch of lists and say, "I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, and I don't date girls that do," or boys, okay, thank you for the catch, that's not enough. That doesn't matter anymore. Your checklist might as well just get thrown in the trash. Because what God wants ultimately, first off, higher than anything, is love the Lord thy God. And then when he goes on in those verses, he says, here's how you're going to love me. Verse 6, hide this word in your heart. You know why? When trouble comes, his word is going to guide us through. When struggles start to come in my life, he starts using those verses to speak to me, and the Spirit of God starts bringing them up. How the weirdest things, the verse I memorized as a child, comes up at the weirdest times. He says, "Why? I want you to hide my word. I want you to know what I said. Hide it. Tuck it in. Make it your own." And verse 7, when you say, now do you keep it to yourself? No. Hide it means to keep it to where it's not going to slip away and forget it. Verse 7 says, what to do with it? Teach them. When? On Sunday mornings at church. Did you catch that in there? Oh. Church is only supposed to be a support and a reinforcement on what you're doing at home at all times. You notice what he says. When you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're lying, when you rise. At all times. We pray before going to bed, do devotions during the day. We're talking about Jesus. We have instances come up and problems arise. We talk about how we trust in the Lord. We explain on why we do certain things the way we do, because it honors God. What throughout your day, teaching. Again, not just telling them, but explaining to them, teaching the application of God's Word in your life. And not pounding them with the Bible of, you brat, you're supposed to obey this. But lovingly explaining. You know why I gave that $10 back to the cashier? It wasn't mine. She accidentally gave it to me, and it wouldn't honor God to give it, to keep it. Did that just kind of teach him a quick lesson without preaching at him? Yeah. You know why when he cussed me out, we're going to go ahead and pray for him anyway? Because when Jesus was on the cross, they cussed him out. They said, Lord, forgive them. Did I preach at them? No. But throughout the day, the little instances in our lives, I show how God is everywhere in my life. And I'm teaching them. Talking about the Word of God at all the time. You see, what we're doing to our kids, we're showing the character of God. We're loving our kids beyond temporary little gifts. We're loving them to the Lord. We're loving them in holiness. And in verse 7, it tells us to teach them, but in verse 8, goes a step further. He says, bind them. Tie them down. Verse 9 says, write them. Now, this isn't about tattoos. Now, I'm not anti-tattoos, but let's not blame God for what we want to do, okay? That's not what he's saying here. This is about your home being immersed in God's Word. I love that, by the way. I heard a no, and I love hearing kids in sanctuary. I love it. I heard no, and he's like telling parents, uh-oh, you're in trouble. Uh-huh. But how important it is that our kids see everywhere in our life that the Word of God is priority. How cool is it your kid walks in a room and you're sitting down reading your Bible? You're going through a hard time that your family's broken. You say, hey, we're just going to pray about it right now together. Parent, don't pray in secret. This time you got to go in your closet, but sometimes you just need to gather your kids together with your spouse. And y'all just pray and be broken together so that they can see God respond. He says, let your house be immersed with God's Word. Don't let this Bible thing be a hypocritical thing. When it's hypocritical and this, the Word of God is important on Sunday mornings only, guess what? Your kid learns a hypocritical religion. He learns to say the right things, brother and sister, sanctifieth the holiness. I have made a covenant. Yeah? And they learn the right hypocritical things, but haven't developed what's the priority? The love, the Lord thy God. You can teach them to be a scholar, to have a master's and a doctorate, and if you fail them to lead them to Jesus Christ, you fail completely. Ooh, our responsibility is great, isn't it? Just bind them, write them down. You should see that it's in every area of our life. If we set examples of teaching, and keep them focused on God's Word, we fulfill the purpose of raising our kids. Let me read that purpose to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's your goal with kids. Not to make a doctor, a millionaire, or a great athlete. But to raise them up in a nurture an admonition of the Lord. That means the discipline and the teaching of God. Why? So they learn how to honor Him. They learn His character. They too are going to honor His name and serve Him. Amen. Honor thy father and mother. Kind of a big deal. One more thing. It's kids, teens, that's actually all of us. If you honor your parents as they lead you to Christ, If you submit to their teaching, live a God-honoring life, here's the cool thing, there's a reward. There's a reward. It's the only one of the commandments that has a reward attached to it. We like rewards and prizes and gifts, and it gets our attention sometimes, but here it is. We read it already, but just listen to this. In Exodus 12, it says, "And thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3, which reiterates the command, it says this, "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Ooh, that's a promise. Teens, kids, your parents hopefully are guiding you in the Word of God so that you can walk with the Lord and receive these promises from God. That should be our goal as parents, and it should be your goal as teens, as kids, as children. But it's a twofold promise. First, it says it may be well with thee. That's a quality of life. It's a life that God can bless with joy, with peace, with wisdom. Now, the prosperity gospel tells you it'll make you rich and healthy and famous. No, we don't see that through Scripture, because if that's the case, Jesus must have failed because he lived a tough life. The apostles must have failed because they lived a tough life and they were killed. Right? But you know what? The joy and the peace of God is greater than any riches. Yeah? Greater than any riches. Your life will be fruitful when you follow the leadership of your parents to walk with God. And he'll use you in great ways. A life that God can one day say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Parent, isn't that your goal for your kid? Is that what you want, that your kid one day hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've walked with me, you obeyed me, you served me." The second promise, the second part of that promise, is thou mayest live long on the earth. It speaks of your life being very productive. You will live out the days God has planned for you. We don't know how long we should have lived originally. But he says, "I'll make your days worthwhile. Be very productive for the time I allow you to be there." If you honor your parents who have been teaching you to love and obey God, you will be full. Why? Because God is providing and protecting for his servants. See, this command to honor your parents is not just a tough rule. It's not about an ego trip for the parents to be like, "You better obey me." This law is a blessing, reminding the parents of their responsibility to teach our kids to love and honor God, the Father. Remember, as Paul speaks, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:11, that he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Parent, that should be us. That if my kid follows me, that he's following me into the lap of Jesus. That if he repeats the words that I say, he's saying words that would honor Christ. If he does the actions that I take, he would do an action that honor Christ. You with me? That's why Paul says, "You can follow me as I follow Christ." That's our goal, parents. That we raise our kids in a way that when we've fallen, we're done. They keep going. They keep pursuing the throne of God, walking with Jesus. This tells the importance of this law. No, it's not one for us to thump our kids with. It's one for us to evaluate, what am I teaching them? That if they obey me, if they follow my example, are they honoring Jesus? Am I provoking them to love God a little bit more? to draw nigh unto Him and walk with Him. Let us evaluate our parenting, evaluate our kids. And here's the cool thing. Sometimes we need to repent. Sometimes we need to be sorry. And it's okay for our kids to know, I was wrong. I'm a man. I don't like to admit that stuff. Any guy in here like to say, hey, I was wrong? You're a liar if you raise your hand. But you know what? Sometimes the best thing for our kids to hear, I should have never spoke to your mom that way. I was wrong. Son, I taught you the wrong priority. I was wrong. I shouldn't have kept that $10. I was wrong. And then they see us go and correct it. A while back, I remember for this church, I went to Walmart, made keys for this church. Made, I think, 5 keys. And I was doing other shopping. And they give him just the 5 loose keys. So what do? You put it in your back pocket. Because I'd take it out and pay for it when I get to the front. You know what I forgot? I forgot to pay for them. Until I was like 40 miles down the road. Because it wasn't a local Walmart. I was traveling. You know the best lesson I can do? I went back to that Walmart and gave them back. Why? It was only $5. No, it was the character of God that needed to be exemplified to my children. Little thing? No, huge thing. Huge thing. We need to make sure that our kids can follow us to walk with Christ. And when we mess up, we thank God that He says He forgives. Aren't we glad for His grace? But then we have to have the humility enough to say, I messed up. And make the apology needed. To make the correction needed. And pull the Zacchaeus and return to who he stole from. Let us evaluate our parenting with the goal of leading our kids to love the Lord thy God. Would you stand with me? Ultimate goal, obviously, as we lead them to God, is the first step is to Calvary. Lead them to the cross of Jesus Christ. We see our kids get saved and then start walking by faith and obedience to Him. Woo, that's where the thrill should be. And so let's close today and lead me to Calvary. Kids have is that we live.